97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I love talking all things aviation. It's one of my favorite topics. I mostly with military aircraft. I love military aircraft. I study them. I even bug my friends who work at Boeing, and they say, Brad, you're asking me questions I don't even know the answers to, because it's very interesting. And that's why I'm excited to talk to our next guest, Lieutenant Colonel Alan Bullet Campbell, retired United States Air Force. Lieutenant Colonel Campbell, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
Yeah, glad to be on with you.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, sir. And I've got a million questions for you. But before we dive into this topic, though, how did you get the nickname Bullet? I always wonder how guys like you get their nicknames. How did you get Bullet?
That's a fascinating question. My last name is Campbell, and I knew when I went in the Air Force, they'd call me Soupy. I mean, what is your other choice?
Right.
Catch up for something. So the movie had just come out. And Bullet was a big shot. So I went in there, I told him, hey, my nickname is Bullet, and it stuck. And it saved my day.
Right, because that's the other thing. When I talk to guys I know who are pilots, usually the nicknames are kind of derogatory. And
right.
And so I'm thinking, man, you've got the coolest nickname. I wonder how that happened. And you just gave it to yourself.
Yes, I did, from a movie.
Yeah,
the
Steve McQueen.
Was absolutely perfect.
Steve,
yes,
McQueen. Oh, I know the movie. I know the car he was driving in that movie. A great driving car scene, car chase scene in Bullet. Fantastic.
Right.
But, sir, I wanted to talk to you, and thanks for taking time out today. But I wanted to talk to you because we've all heard about this situation going on at Newark's Air Traffic Control Tower, where they actually lost the radar. Here's the actual audio from the control tower at Newark.
United 674, we lose now. Radar contact lost. We lost our radar.
Do I have Bravo clearance?
No, you do not have a Bravo clearance. We lost our radar, and it's not working correctly. Radar service terminates, block VFR, green change approved. If you want a Bravo clearance, you can just call the towers when you get closer. We don't have a radar, so I don't know where you are.
Lieutenant Colonel Alan Bullet Campbell, to walk us through, if in this situation, if the radar is essentially out at Newark, how did that impact the aircraft that were in the air right then that were on approach to Newark?
Well, it doesn't affect the pilots. If the weather is VFR, they can see each other and that sort of thing. If it had been instrument rules, it would have been tragic. But, you know, the pilots just do what they're told. They do the logical thing. They're just not allowed to land. And so, you know, it was only 90 seconds, but that's a busy airport. It's a busy area, three big airports in the New York area. And so it was just catastrophic almost immediately when that happened. And that they, you know, no accidents, no damage or anything, was wonderful.
And when you say VFR, you mean visual flight rules, right?
That's correct. If it had been instrument flight rules, it would have been totally different.
Yes.
They would have had to told everybody, hold your altitude or give, but they can't see them. So there's a lot of guesswork. So the good weather was a miracle.
And is this anything that you've ever either experienced or heard about anecdotally before, where the air traffic control system would go down for a period of a minute or minutes?
No. I flew 37 years with Delta, and I never had any kind of a problem like that. I had one of the safest careers on the planet. But that's a busy, busy area, and so air traffic control is absolutely essential. And so, you know, I worked for the FAA years ago, and they had a problem then, and they haven't fixed it. And the last administration under President Biden just kicked the can down the road. And so now the Trump administration has a horrific problem to fix. And, of course, they're going to fix it, but it's going to take months or years to get it all straightened out.
Time and money. So tell me about this. You mentioned that over the past few years, including during the Biden administration, there were problems with the air traffic control system. Talk to us about what did these problems come from? How did they originate? And why are we having to deal with them now?
Well, they basically just kicked the can down the road in terms of updating electronics. They're talking about using old cards and things instead of being brand new. I don't know why. I worked for the FAA for a year and I quit because they were so goofed up. I just could not accept that. And so, you know, that's my experience. And that was in 2015. That was years ago they were goofed up. So it's been a huge problem. It should have been fixed many, many years ago. And now, you know, it's exploding in their face and they've absolutely got to fix it. And then you can quickly put in the little spin about the coronavirus that stopped the hiring. And so they flatlined hiring. And then when they started it up again, a lot of people don't realize it takes months, if not years, to train FAA controllers. They can't just, you know, hire them and in 10 days they go to work. So you hire them today, they might not be able to work for 6 months.
Wow. And so by pausing the hiring during COVID, when they should have still been, even following protocols, they should have still been hiring individuals, that set them back years, I guess. Is that fair to say, in terms of being able to put competent air traffic controllers in the control tower because of that hiring freeze that happened during the Biden administration?
Absolutely. It set them back for years. And then when they turned it around, people don't realize the training process. You take somebody off the street and want to make them an FAA controller. I don't know if it takes a year. I didn't do that. So when I got a job with the FAA, they wanted to train me for a year, and I had huge experience. So I'm assuming with new air traffic controllers, it takes at least a year to train them. And that's why they just got way behind the power curve.
We're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Alan Bullitt Campbell. He's a retired United States Air Force officer, was also briefly with the FAA. He's also the author of the book, My Life Above the Clouds. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a moment, Colonel Campbell. But I've got a completely off the wall question for you and something that's bothered me for the last 20 years. And that's this. Why do we have to put our phones on airplane mode on the plane in the United States whenever in Europe, when I'm in Europe, we don't have to do that over there? Why do we have to do it over here? And has there ever been one instance of anyone sitting on a plane with their phone out of airplane mode that caused any disruption of any aircraft?
You know, a little bit of guesswork on my part, but I flew airplanes that had over 200 people, and you know there's no way all 200 people are going to turn their phone off. They forget them, they're in the bag or whatever, and I never had a problem that I'm aware of. So I'm going to have to guess and say that I think that was probably overkill from years ago. I turned mine off, you know, for whatever reason, save the battery, but I don't think that was a problem. I think that's just one of those things they do.
Well, I'm sorry to catch you off guard, but listen, if I got the chance to talk to you, I'm gonna ask these kind of questions because sure, they impact us when we fly. And I always think, well, what am I doing this for? This is pointless. So, but I'll get off of that. Let's get back to this air traffic control tower situation. So, what's going to have to happen? I mean, this is going to take an investment, isn't it, of both equipment, training, people, resources. This is not a quick fix, is it?
Absolutely not a quick fix. You know, the training of people is probably up to speed, but they're talking about the ancientness of the radios and the stuff that they're using, you know, and all the new stuff out there is just incredibly better, more efficient. Even our phones, for crying out loud, are much better than that. So they've got a long ways to go to get this all back up to speed. And they're supposed to have a backup plan up there. You know, if one fails and they go to the backup plan, well, apparently they both failed. And so there's another thing that's got to be fixed. They have to have a way to communicate. Whether you have them on radar is one thing, but if you can't see them, you can't communicate, then the whole thing is just in bad situation. And so it's going to require a big fix. And I'm embarrassed or surprised that it ever was allowed to get that bad.
Well, and when I mentioned training, I guess what I was talking about was if tomorrow, and of course the exercise of determining what needs to be installed technical equipment wise will take a long period of time. That'll take research, but once new systems are put into the air traffic control system, then all of the existing employees are going to have to be retrained on whatever new equipment is placed in the control towers, right?
I suppose so, but I think at the level they are, training them on new equipment won't be that big a deal because they're all real smart people. They have iPhones, they have, you know, real good computers and all that sort of thing. So I think they're up to speed with that. So I think the training at that level will be easy. It's basically fixing the hardware.
Understood. We're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Alan Bullitt Campbell. And Colonel Campbell, you have written a book called My Life Above the Clouds. Tell us a little bit about this book and what prompted you to write this.
Well, it's a long story. I'll keep it short. But my dad wrote a book because he was on the Yorktown in World War II. And he wrote a book called Pilots, Man Your Planes. And it's available on Amazon also. So that was the family tradition. But my life has been so diverse, unique, on top of the list. And I tell everybody, I'm an average person. I was average in high school. I was no superstar at anything. And all of a sudden, I went to the Citadel and my rocket took off. And so I went in the Air Force for 21 years, flew the F-106, flew the F-16, twice the speed of sound, over 50,000 feet, flew for Delta for 37 years. And oh, by the way, I got involved in boat racing.
Oh, my goodness.
Won two national championships and a world championship. So then it's like, okay, I need to write a book to tell kids you can be ordinary, stay off drugs, don't get arrested, don't get pregnant out of wedlock, and look at the things that are available to you in this wonderful country. And then my kick is go for it.
Absolutely. Ordinary people can do extraordinary things. I've got a friend of mine, Colonel, who flew F-18s for the Navy, and he would land these on aircraft carriers. And to this day, I still can't even imagine how a person's flying a plane, there's a bobbing, weaving object in the middle of the ocean, and you land on that sucker doing something close to 200 miles an hour on a little bitty Band-Aid strip in the water. I have no idea how anybody does that. I have no idea how people like you have flown so many aircraft over so many years. I'm in awe, and I thank you for joining us today. Lieutenant Colonel Alan Bullitt Campbell, author of the book My Life Above the Clouds. Colonel, thank you so much for explaining the Newark situation for us right here on the Mark Reardon Show, 97.1 FM Talk. Great to talk to you, sir.
Pleasure. Thank you.